This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Can you own your own snarky character in these days of intellectual property claims and intense network rivalry? Consider the case of Stephen Colbert, who ran into a curious ownership question last month while his show was doing gangbuster ratings during the convention.
One moment that I really enjoyed last week was the return of Stephen Colbert, the host of The Colbert Report. You know who didn't enjoy it so much? Corporate lawyers. Because, and this is true, immediately after that show, CBS's top lawyer was contacted by the top lawyer from another company to say that the character Stephen Colbert is their intellectual property.
Viacom is that other company, reminding Stephen that his fake conservative character he created for The Colbert Report may be claimed by Viacom and that he can't haul it out at the Republican National Convention on his CBS show. Colbert's workaround is introducing a new character to the show, Stephen Colbert.
Joining me now, live via satellite from Philadelphia, please welcome Stephen Colbert's identical twin cousin, Stephen Colbert. Give it up, everybody.
Colbert clearly delights in poking fun at his former employer, Viacom, but Tom Ewing, an intellectual property lawyer with Avancept, says Viacom's case is pretty weak, even though these kinds of IP cases are proliferating.
If this was his solution on the advice of counsel, then it kind of suggests that maybe they don't think Viacom has a very strong case because, you know, coming up with the identical twin cousin conceived at the same moment from identical parents, so on and so forth, and the name is even spelled Stephen with a PH and not Stephen with a V. So I assume Colbert was advised by CBS's attorneys when he did that. So, you know, that perhaps was their response to Viacom that all things considered, we don't think your case is really very strong.
Is your expectation that anyone who works for Saturday Night Live basically is giving up everything to Lorne Michaels, including, you know, the gestures, the costumes, the little phrases?
Well, you know, theoretically, in a contract, you could ask for all that stuff. And then the trouble is sometimes you reach a point where the law just says, sorry, that's not protectable. And then other times you reach a point where, you know, there's a public policy that says, you know, sorry, we don't care what you guys agreed with each other. It's just against public policy that you could have agreed to this. The other thing to consider is, people or actors often bring with them to the show a character or something about a character that they created before they were on the show. So it's something that's theirs already when they show up.
So is Spock saying that's not logical? Is that owned by the Spock estate?
Probably not. You know, I mean, copyright protects the expression of an idea, not the idea itself. You know, along the copyright and jokes issue, two Virginia law professors a few years ago did a study of copyright lawsuits related to jokes, and they couldn't find a single instance where one comedian had ever sued another comedian for stealing a joke. I will say it strikes me that it shouldn't be that hard for the two parties to come to a licensing agreement, which would basically take it all off the table.
And keep it from annoying us on television in the evening. Well, gosh, this was a really fascinating discussion. Tom Ewing, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Tom Ewing is an intellectual property lawyer with Avancept.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.